Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really get to the core of complex topics, cutting through all the noise.
Yep, digging deep.
Today, we're tackling something specific, but honestly pretty vital in finance and accounting. The idea of an associate. What is an associate when we talk about company investments? And, you know, why does this label even matter so much for understanding the books?
It matters a lot. And fundamentally, it all circles back to one key concept. Significant influence.
Significant influence.
That's really the heart of it. It determines how these investments get treated.
So our main goal here is to kind of nail down that definition from the IFRS standards and then how companies account for these investments. You mentioned significant influence. That's the core idea, right?
Exactly.
But how clear cut is that in practice? I mean, where is the line between having like a strong voice and actual control? Is it fuzzy?
That's a great question. Significant influence means you have real power to participate in the big financial and operating policy decisions. But, and this is key, it's not control.
Yeah.
Control is when you can direct those policies. Think of significant influence, like being a really influential board member, maybe shaping decisions, but not the one holding the ultimate reins.
So different from just owning some stock, and definitely different from owning a subsidiary outright.
Precisely. It occupies that middle ground.
Yep.
And that distinction drives the accounting.
Right, which brings us to the mechanics. For anyone trying to, you know, make sense of company financials, this seems important. The main accounting approach is called the equity method. How does that actually work for an associate? Sounds simple maybe, but I bet it's not always.
You're right, there are nuances. So the equity method starts with recording the investment at its cost. Straightforward enough.
Okay.
But then over time, that investment value on your books gets adjusted. It goes up or down based on your share of the associate's profit or loss.
So if the associate does well, your investment value increases.
Exactly. And if they post a loss, your investment value decreases by your percentage share. It forces the investor to kind of, well, share the fate of the associate financially.
It really reflects that partnership even without full control.
It does. It gives a much truer picture of the economic link than just marking stock to market value. You're seeing the direct impact of that relationship.
And are there like exceptions or complications? You mentioned nuances.
Oh, definitely. There are specific situations, exemptions, where you might not use the equity method.
Yeah.
And then there's impairment.
Impairment. Okay. What happens if things go south? If the associate starts losing a lot of money?
That's where impairment testing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
If the investment's value drops significantly and it looks like that drop isn't just temporary, the investor has to recognize an impairment loss.
So you write down the value on your books.
You have to.
Mm.
It ensures the balance sheet isn't overstating the asset's value. It reflects the economic reality, even when it's bad news.
Makes sense. It sounds complex, especially when you think about how these companies actually interact. What about things like trading between the investor and the associate?
Good point. That adds another layer. Transactions like trading, dealing with unrealized profit, and handling dividends all have specific rules.
Unrealized profit, what's that about?
Well, imagine the investor company sells goods to its associate. If the associate hasn't sold those goods on to an external customer yet, the profit the investor booked on that internal sale is considered unrealized.
Ah, because the money hasn't actually come in from outside the group yet.
Exactly. It's like moving something from your left pocket to your right. You can't fully count that profit until the goods leave the combined entity. Adjustments are needed to avoid overstating earnings.
Okay, I see. And dividends, how do they fit in?
Dividends received from an associate actually reduce the carrying amount of the investment under the equity method. They aren't treated as typical dividend income.
Interesting. So it's like getting some of your investment back rather than new income.
Sort of, yes. It all ties back to presenting that true and fair view, especially with these related party dealings.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. The key definition for an associate really hangs on significant influence, having a voice, but not total control.
Right.
And the accounting follows the equity method, meaning the investment value tracks the associate's performance, its ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there are specific rules for things like internal trading profits and dividends to keep the financial picture clear.
That sums it up nicely. And I think the takeaway for listeners is really about transparency. Understanding these IFRS rules for associates gives you a much deeper insight into a company's real financial health and its network of relationships.
It shows that not all lines on a balance sheet tell the same story.
Absolutely. So when you're looking at financials next time, maybe ask yourself, what underlying partnerships or influences, just short of full control, might actually be shaping this company's results. What web is really there?